Welcome to ATT Live. Dude, this COVID-23, I think it's coming for me right now.
Getting you?
Yeah, it's either that or the... It's crazy because I woke up this morning and I felt like I had... It felt like I drank like 8 bottles of champagne last night.
But you only drank 4?
I chugged them. I only drank one, one, and then some other mixed drinks. But I just feel terrible today. And I just could not shake it all day.
You don't look your best.
And I'm like... Because I've just turned 35 now, so I wonder if I level up. Is that the next like hangover level up? Is you get at 35?
Well, it's just like drop in men's hockey. There's a 35 and over league, and that's where all the that's where it all goes downhill.
And that's where I'm touching it.
That's where you're in now.
Yeah, we got a special guest coming on right now. Look at this guy.
What's up?
So if you didn't know, we had the logo contest. And Patrick here created the by far dopest design.
Patrick wins.
I want to tell you, there was like when we were picking designs, like we legit had hundreds of people like submit.
Oh, wow.
So many. And we were just like, you know, it was like everyone was kind of like, you know, like this one's okay. This one's good. You know, we could use this one. And someone, I think it's one of your friends, messaged us and was like, yo, I'm going to get my buddy to send one in. And you sent it in like basically like the week we were going to end it and try to choose one. And as soon as yours came across the email, all of us were like, shit.
That's the one.
Like, holy God damn.
Yeah. First off, thanks so much for having me on, man.
Yeah.
I'm a podcaster too. I've done podcasting for about 4 or 5 years now. I host one now called Game Pass or Smash, which is kind of like a nerdy one, but
Game so Pass when I found or it, Smash. Searching Game Pass
go
or
for it.
Smash.
I used to be on show called The Bastard Sermon, which we had. It was like a dark comedy show. We had like reality TV guests on. We had like Alone, if you've ever heard Alone, Forged by Fire, and you know some people.
Fucking Zell loves Forged by Fire.
Mr.
Forged by Fire.
I feel like I could make a knife, but I know I definitely couldn't. But I feel like I've watched enough. I could do it.
So when a buddy tagged me, he's like, dude, I found someone that needs a logo and they'd be right up your alley. And I saw he's got a podcast. I never heard of you guys up until that point. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to do this right now. And I knocked it all together. I sent it out and I was super pumped that you guys liked it as much as you guys did.
Yeah. Well, for not knowing the show, like it just kind of just fit perfectly.
Well, I checked out the episode that you guys announced the winner on there. Forgot what Case File was, but I listened to that one and it was good stuff. I was like, man, I can't wait to hop on. I hope the time frames work out because we're on the other side of the earth basically at this point.
Yeah, you're on Dan's side. We make Dan record late every fucking time.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Well, hey, thanks so much for having me on. I'm so stoked about it. I'm a listener now. So I saw you guys change the logo and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah. That's good stuff.
Honestly, I think because the episode we announced the change, like it was for Patreon only, and then it comes out tomorrow. So like some people are just seeing it for the first time now. They're not going to know that we picked. And so it actually kind of lined up nicely that I literally updated everything like 15 minutes ago. So it's just like, I was like, I got some time right now. I might as well start plugging this in everywhere.
Fucking exciting, man. Thanks so much. Can't believe it. I feel part of it now, you know, like maybe I'm the fifth host or something.
Well, I mean, it's just been me and Brayden have been hosting the show alone. It feels like for a month. So it's good to have another voice on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. How long has this podcast been going? I feel like total noob and I'm asking the worst questions a podcast guest should ask. Because everyone that's listens probably knows exactly everything about the show. But how long has this show been going on?
We have some people that listen to the show that know more about the show than we do.
Quite a few, actually.
They bring trivia questions at our yearly roundup show that, and we're like, I have no idea the answer. I can't confirm if this is a correct answer. No. We've been doing this for 8 years.
We just had that. We actually just recorded on our 8th year anniversary. We didn't even realize till we were recording.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, 2015 was October 4th or something.
Yeah.
I get what you mean too when you say people like will come on and be like, they'll talk about things about your life. And like, shit, I totally forgot. I overshared that part of my life, on the podcast.
I got a little drunk and I shouldn't have told that story to the world, and it's too late now.
Wait, that's on the internet forever? Oh shit.
Now my whole family has heard this.
Right on.
Now my whole family knows what happened in Thailand.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Shit.
Whoops.
Right on.
Also, give us.
Should have kept that one for later on.
While we got you on, what? Because I checked out your Instagram. Was it Dark Mountain Cult?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got. Yes. You're obviously a seasoned vet in that community. So, like, what's your artist story?
Oh, it's a good question. I mean, I've always been kind of a guy that needs a creative outlet of some sort. So I've been drawing like my whole life, luckily. And I've had some pretty laid back jobs while I've been pursuing other creative ventures. I was a touring musician for like a decade. I did that for a while. I did the podcast for a while. A couple other things that I did, video work, music videos. And I would just have like these boring jobs where I could just draw all day. And eventually, actually, the guy that didn't recommend me, Jose, shout out to that guy. He's one of the people that buys my art quite frequently. And I make these things called mood mats, which this is a sneak peek of November. So people that are watching this are going to see something that hasn't been released yet. But basically, they're like really nice coasters for your bongs.
That's fucking awesome.
Man, this guy fits right in.
So they do these, they're glow in the dark and like UV and stuff.
Oh, that's sweet.
And they're all made out of recycled wetsuits. So they're upcycled, they're climate friendly, and that's always cool.
Checking all the boxes.
People use them. They're limited editions, so people trade them around like baseball cards and stuff, which is pretty cool. I make those and I try to work with I love pop culture and I'm a huge nerd. I love gaming. I love comics and shit like that. So I'll draw usually stuff like that. But lately I've been kind of dope. I love tattoos. I'm a huge tattoo freak. And now I want to work on like tattoo design kind of styles. Like battle toads and shit. I love samurai battle toads where they're cutting off people's arms or other toads' arms and shit. So that's something I really like to focus on too. But that's basically my artist story. So I work on art pretty much full time at my main job.
So that's your main gig, is doing that kind of stuff?
I would say this is I have a 9-to-5, but it's very laid back. It's basically so I have health insurance, you know, so right. I could do this stuff full time.
This guy, you're like an interesting blend of all four of us that host this show. It's weird. Because everything you're saying is like, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, like I'm the 9-to-5 guy with a laid back job where I don't have to really do anything. And Zell's a weed smoker. You know, Dan, if Dan was here and Andrew, they'd be going off about the battle toads and stuff. I'm like, this guy's a jack of all trades here. What are you doing coming on this show and trying to up, you know? Outshine us here.
I just like to work on creative outlets, man. I love working on stuff, even if like no one likes it or anything, you know, because when I did, like, for example, the Bastard Sermon podcast, like I really, really worked hard to get like good guests and have a lot of listeners and all that stuff. And now with like my new podcast, it's just a really good excuse to like see my friends and we just goof off. So if you ever listen to the podcast, it's just us mostly just playing video games and us either talking a shit ton of shit about it, or, you know, us gushing about games. But now we're going to switch into like a D&D kind of style, podcast. Cause that's my newest thing now is D&D. And I'm like a total freak about the whole thing.
For bonus stuff, we record a D&D session. So we're like, we've been playing the same D&D story for maybe 4 years. We line it up and we're recording it all. It's so fun, dude. It's the funnest thing. We have rules where it's like you have to talk in character. Like if you're making a game decision, you've got to be in character. So it's like you can ask questions and stuff normally, but like the second it's like legit,
when it's
like,
action time.
You got to be in your character's voice.
It makes me laugh my ass off almost every time we play so hard where I'm almost legitimately pissing my pants. It's just that much fun. Everything's cracking me up. You never know where the story is going to go. You think it's going to be simple. And I love creating a character too. I have like a barbarian half orc, and he's like the most disgusting gremlin of a creature ever. He's obsessed with turtle shells, homeless, just just gross at all times, chaotic neutral. You never know what's going to happen. And I just, it's like, almost
does
like
he,
living
does he
out
still
my
have
gross
his testicles?
Fantasies.
Does he still have his testicles? Okay. Cause Brayden plays a similar character, but he's actually, he's lost his nuts at some point.
In his, my character story is just a little too deep, but I have like a huge obsession with, it's like my guilty pleasure of bad reality TV. Like I love Hoarders. I love Hell's Kitchen. I love Jersey Shore. I don't know why. I'm just hooked. It's so mindless. And
you're,
I just
speaking
love
Brayden's language right now.
Yeah. I'm a big, I'm a big thousand pound sisters guy.
Yes.
Like huge.
Yes. I right? just I like, fucking binged all that.
I mean,
oh my
Tammy's,
God.
Tammy's hero arc. This is some of the greatest story I've ever heard. The fact that Tammy's, she went and got that weight loss surgery after being the number one villain on TV for 4 years, and now some America's sweetheart Michael is now cheating on Amy. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I cannot wait for season 5. When's this coming out? This is amazing.
Tammy is one of the most detestable humans I've ever seen on television.
Scum. Absolute fucking
scum. There was one episode, and spoiler alerts for those who are really deep into Thousand Pound Sisters, skip ahead 30 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Basically, when she went all the way down from Kentucky to Gatlinburg, which, by the way, is only a 2-hour drive for a normal human, it took them 12 hours to get all the way down there because everybody's so overweight and they had so many issues with cars. It was the worst nightmare scenario ever. And they finally arrived, and Tammy refuses to even get out of the fucking car. She was like, I want to go home right now after 12 hours. And I was like, this is the worst human being in the entire world. She is the worst. I cannot stand it.
When there was a, like the, there was a brief, if you're in it, again, spoiler alert, there was a brief arc where we had Party Tammy was,
oh yeah,
Tammy,
where she was like drinking two drinks at the same time. I'm drinking and smoking, I'm vaping.
Yeah.
I'm vaping.
And they're like, she's like, if I die, I die. Dude, phenomenal. It's great TV. Zell can't get bored. I don't know why. It's an everyman show. It's a human experience.
It looks so stupid from the outside, but I promise you, watch one episode, you're going to be like completely intrigued. I got one of my co-hosts into it, and he is not,
can't do it,
a reality TV guy. And he was so hooked on. He was like, text me like, I can't believe this motherfucker right now. Tammy sucks.
Yeah. Tammy's the worst person alive.
And one of my other favorite parts of the show is when the Slayton sisters, Amy, I think is the other girl, she was crying about how she feels like a bad mom because their place is so gross. When you can see it on every episode, how gross their place is. And she's like, people are going to judge me, and they're making fun of me, and they see a cockroach, and it's the worst. And as she's crying to the camera, you see this nasty roach climb up her wall, and they focus in on it. I'm like, oh man, whoever's recording this, they are cold.
Sounds a little scripted to me.
Oh, dude.
it's so gross and perfect.
People in chat are asking what show. It's 1,000 Pound Sisters.
Yes, please watch
phenomenal.
It.
It's phenomenal TV. It's absolutely
sounds like riveting stuff.
They do, not Tammy, unfortunately, but Amy and like Chris, the brother, do cameo for like $50. And I'm so tempted to have them do an intro for my podcast and say all of our inside jokes. It wouldn't make any sense to anyone, but other than people that listen to it.
Chris.
Oh, but that'd be great.
Chris on that show, you know, we don't have to go 1,000 Pound Sisters for an hour here, but just one last point. Chris on that show, the brother, has one of the most unique voices you've ever heard. Somehow, when he speaks, he hits 3 different tones at the same time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he legit sounds like a lady, and then you're like, who is just talking? And then it's Chris. It's his voice like very tones squeaky up and then tones down. You're like, what the hell? There's one
sounds like a sad dog like, toy.
Yeah, he's like, where we're going to... I can't remember what he's like, we're going down to Lanceville or something, but the way he says, like, going down to Lanceville, and you're like, what?
Lanceville? Dude, you're, I think, like, he
what,
had,
what happened to your voice?
I think, not like throat cancer, but he had some sort of, he smokes a lot of cigarettes, he's been a chain smoker his whole life, so I would assume that's why that happens.
Yeah,
but please, if you're looking for garbage TV, watch that show. I mean,
phenomenal.
You wouldn't think you'd be into it, but I'm telling you, you'll be into it. You'll be into
it. And if you want some of the cringiest stuff you've ever seen, Tammy Slayton on TikTok.
Oh, I'm not on TikTok, but I follow her on Instagram, and she's lost all of her weight, so she's got like this huge kind of gobbler thing going on.
Yeah, the gobbler.
Yeah. She's like doing this head twirl, and you just see it shaking underneath, and it's just like horrifying, you know. I don't even know if skin surgery would even help for something like that.
She sounds like a great role model for the today's youth.
It is.
Perfect. Well, it is. Anyone that's 600 pounds.
Yeah. Phenomenal TV, though. It's so nice to finally find another connoisseur of fine TV, because these guys, I try to tell them what they're missing out, and they do not care in the slightest.
I mean,
more of an oxymoron in my life than fine TV from what you just described.
But I'm at a point in my life where I'll watch, there's this guy named Sean of Steel I'll follow on YouTube, because I'm at a job, like it's a joke, so I'll just scroll all day or whatever, I'll watch YouTube, and I watch this guy, and he's going on, like, he used to be 600 pounds, but now he just watches my 600 pound life, and he just roasts everybody, which is hilarious. But it brings me to another thing I wanted to mention. I remember hearing this crazy story. I had a buddy, because I used to have, like, I love hoarders and all that shit. And I had crime scene cleaners come on our podcast and tell me crazy horror stories and stuff. But I had a buddy that was a paramedic, and he quit because of this particular job. This is kind of disgusting. That's a true story. And this shit happens more often than you think. I would say 1/3 of all houses in America have a hoarding issue of some sort. Believe it or not, there is some sort of hoarding issue. It's that bad. So one of us three has a hoarding issue. Probably me. But
turn your webcam around. Turn your camera around.
Let's all do a webcam sweep.
Oh, you're gonna see this is my studio room, so this is where my packaging goes to die.
Mine's looking pretty hoarderish.
That's pretty hoarderish.
I'm just saying. A lot of boxes.
Got a couple hoarders here.
Mine's
all
boxes.
Mine's all microphones and gadgets.
Oh, hey, he's got the orange cab though. That's some good shit.
That's a Rocker Verb 50.
But let me tell you this story. So my buddy, who was a paramedic, he quit because of this job, and he got a call that some lady was seizing on her couch. And so they go out, check it out. And usually when someone, they were morbidly obese, so they were 600 pounds plus. And when you get a call about that and you hear someone seizing, they're probably going to die because they've reached to a point of no return at that point. Usually they're bedridden. They can't get out of bed. And once you're bedridden, you're done. You know,
Almost anyone that follows those shows, know the second you can't move and
you're fucked.
Death sentence.
Yeah, you're fucked. So this lady, she was seizing on her couch. They get into the house. It is a hoarded house. So you had to kind of move sideways to kind of get in there. You know what I mean? And there's like a 6-inch layer of sludge, like a poopy sludge all over the ground. And they get over to the lady where she was, and they're like a little small open area. And she was morbidly obese, sitting on the couch. She was seizing. And the reason that this is all happening is because her and her 30 plus year old son, who lives at home, he refused to clean up after her and them. And so the house turned into a whole pigsty because he was being petty on one side, not cleaning. And she decided to not leave that couch for 3 years straight. So she stayed on the couch, pooping, pissing, living life to the fullest, vaping, smoking, drinking.
Yeah.
There's no way that's real. There's gotta be a little TV magic in there.
So no, this is a real thing that happened. This wasn't on television.
Real story.
This is a real story. This is just how real life is. So when you sit on, when you you hear about people that are in comas or they're bedridden for a long time, they get massages or they have to move their body. It's because your body tissue gets so soft and mushy, you'll start fusing to what you're touching. So this lady was seizing because her back fused to the couch and her kidney rotted out of her back onto the couch and was completely dead outside of her body. So when they tried to pull her off, all of her skin on her back came off it was stuck to the couch. So all of her guts and everything spilled out underneath, all of her rib cage. And so she died clearly, but he said he quit over that whole thing. Spoiler alert, she's dead.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, son never changed his ways. Some say it's still hoarded to this day.
Burn it down. Burn it down.
Yeah. Anytime I think of my 1,000-pound sisters, I just think of that story because of how horrifying it was.
Well, I mean,
and I can't imagine.
Those shows are funny because we watch them because they're funny. That's why. Let's be real. No one watches them because I want to watch something sad and depressing. You watch because you're like, this is fucked up. It's so a lot of
my life's so much better than theirs. Yeah, holy yeah, shit.
Like, as you're eating, I like actively have like 1,000-pound sister snacks. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to snack out while I watch the show. And I judge them while I'm just eating chips.
Do
and
they
I'm
have
like,
their own brand of snacks?
You know, an addiction is an addiction. And that's that's a disease in itself. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. It's a disease. But it's a fucked up one. You know, so it's hard not to look at this car crash.
Duchess of Doobies in the chat said she was turning into a couch potato. That is,
that's what a couch potato does to you. You'll fuse to the couch. But yeah.
So while we got you on, obviously we talk a lot about aliens, conspiracies, cryptids. What's your thoughts on aliens?
Do I believe in Bigfoot? Is that what you're asking? No, yeah. I'm kidding.
Well, that's next.
I mean,
that's next.
I have a couple stories. Now, I think it's impossible not to think of aliens for sure exist. You are stupid if you don't think that they exist. Let's be real. And if they didn't exist, it would be so fucking terrifying just to imagine that we're just some freak accident in the universe. You know what I mean? But I want to say that I had two experiences where I cannot explain what they were. I'm not saying I saw anything in particular, but there was a time I was at like an ex-girlfriend's house. I live over in Cincinnati, Ohio. So up in Dayton is the Wright Pat Air Force Base, and they have all kinds of activity over there. No,
that's where they brought stuff. We all know that.
Yeah. In Area 52, basically. Yeah. But as I was sitting outside, you could see like a bunch of like Black Hawk helicopters flying around. And, you know, we were out there looking with our binoculars like, oh, wow, fucking Black Hawks, you know? And I don't know how to explain. It doesn't even make sense to me. But like in that area where they were flying around, you ever seen like, what's that called? Like the little trail that's behind a plane with, you know, it looks like a cloud or something, yeah, kind of like a line. Behind.
Chemtrails. Yeah.
Chemtrails. Yeah. Or contrails.
That's where they're spraying all the fluoride down on
it's
us.
It's contrails, but yeah. It's
turn all the frogs gay. Yeah. So I saw like a small one and we were all saying like, do you see that? And it looked like, so it was flat, but it looked like it turned kind of like that, like the whole cloud. I don't know. It was so small. Like it looked like it was so far away, but it was close enough where the helicopters can fly around the whole thing, but it just turned completely the opposite direction and went into a cloud and didn't see it again. I don't know what that was, but it was weird as shit. Like it was enough for the whole family that was there being like, what are we looking at right now? But then there was like this other time, and this happened like within the past year, which was kind of crazy. Like, I would love to see like a UFO and be like, that is for sure a fucking UFO. Like I want undeniable proof. That is a UFO I just saw. So I remember I was driving home from work and it was kind of like that twilight time, you know, where the lights were, you know, it's getting dark early and the sky's kind of purplish right before it goes dark from the daytime. And it looked like there was just like a really bright star that was just up and above enough for me to be in traffic at a standstill to look up at the sky and be like, wow, it's pretty clear night. And then I see the star. And as I look up at it, it vanished. The light just as if it was turned off like a light switch. And I did a double take. I was like, what the fuck? Cause I saw that. I was like, am I smoking weed right now? What's going on? And I look back up and I see the light turn back on in the spot. And there's no planes or nothing around it. And like, it's a clear night. And I try to pull up my phone to try to like take a picture of it. And then it just turned off again. I don't know. It never came back after that night. I was in traffic, so I had to keep driving. But I was like, what the fuck did I just see?
That's a weird one. I've seen some similar where it looked like the only way I can describe it is it looked like it was at night. And it just looked like someone just turned on a huge flashlight and turned it off. It was just like a noticeably bigger light than stars in the area, just on and then off. And there was like a couple of people were like, "Oh, that was weird. Should we be concerned with that? Like, what's happening here?
Did you just see? Are you real? Am I real?" There was like another time my mom, she told me a story when she was in college. Her and her friend were driving down like a dark road. And it was like, you know, one of those roads where it's in the middle of the woods. No one is driving. There's no street lights. It's just woods on all sides and the street that you're on. You know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been in those, down those wilderness streets. And she said that one night they were driving and they saw like a light in the woods that was, I don't know, 100 feet out into the woods. And it was keeping up with their car and zigzagging between all of the trees, keeping up with the car for about 30 minutes, she said. And then it looked like it just vanished as well. I was like, that sounds like a UFO, Mom. That's a UFO, yeah, Mom.
That's a UFO.
But those are really my only experiences I ever had when it came to cryptids and shit.
By a lot.
But I mean, there was like some other time where I don't know what it was, but me and my friends, we would always go out. There's not a lot to do in Ohio. You know, it's all fucking
cornfields
and suburbia.
I've heard that.
Shit. And hell is real, clearly, on every side.
I think we've talked shit about Ohio before.
Yeah, I think we'll probably.
Well, it's easy to talk shit about. It sucks. Yeah. Nothing special here. So I remember we would go out here first.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Everything we've always said.
I live here. I can tell you. It sucks. Yeah. There was like, so me and my buddies, we went out in the woods sometimes. We'd get like a lantern, just kind of run around, just do stupid shit, you know, just kind of, you had nothing to do. So you would just go out into the woods and just be, you know, woodland critters for the night, play night crawlers or some shit. So you go out there, and one day we were walking around and you could hear like, you know, all the wilderness was just normal. It was dark, crickets, stuff like that. And then everything got real quiet. And this is one of those things where I don't know what it was. I just happened to experience it and it was terrifying. And as we were in the woods, you hear like a bunch of crunching brush behind us. And there's only three of us and we got a shitty little lantern. You know what I mean? So you're not going to get a lot of visibility out of that. In the woods at night, even though I was with friends and stuff, that shit is terrifying.
Well, it's some primal grass man for sure.
You know, just some primal fear that goes into the unknown and not being able to protect yourself at night in the woods, you know? So as we're there, and we know exactly where we're in the park, but you hear all this like crunching and things falling down, and it definitely like sounded like something was walking in the woods. And then you hear like this like grunt kind of thing. Maybe it was a boar. I don't know what's out there in the
Ohio grass. It would
be the devil himself.
Yeah, the grass man. That's right.
Yeah, I think so. But we dropped our lanterns and we got the fuck out of there. We screamed and ran back to the car and we never went back to that park again. But that shit was like haunting to experience. I was like 20. So it was like 11 years ago, 12 years ago. But yeah,
I've got this thing queued up because so many people, cause we're kind of talking,
this is hot news right here.
We're getting into Bigfoot territory. And everyone sending us this Colorado train passenger, Bigfoot video.
It's fucking Bigfoot. So
they're saying that they're like, oh, this is next to the Patterson Gimlin. This is it. This is the definitive video. Let's watch it. I think
we're
going to get fucking ultra banned there. Something from Fox. So you see something. Apparently they were,
they're on like a sightseeing train tour or something.
Train. Yeah. And then they're looking for elk and they just see this thing.
Bigfoot's out for a stroll. He just sits down. You know what? Bigfoot's got some pert plus type fur. Like it's nice and smooth.
Like, he's well manicured,
well combed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like a 70s style. Like, look, he is sheen.
He is sparkling. He just sits down. He's chilling.
Like taking a quick shit.
Maybe. Or just enjoying the view.
Now, the people are like, I love it. It's like on a train, zoomed in. My first thing with this one, I was like, if this is in the day, normally we get some like shitty low light camera footage. And I'm like, why are these people still trying to shoot on a high 8 camcorder? Like, I just don't understand the bad quality. Like, at
because they're boomers. The boomers saw it.
Yeah, they're probably using their old Coolpix camera from 2002 to take
still a video. Still takes a videotape.
Right? I'm like, God damn. I'm like, this is 2023. It's some of the worst daytime video I've ever seen.
And you
in
know
my
what?
Life.
Turn the camera the other way. Let's go landscape here.
Well, that's the worst part is I'm like, what kind of phone is this? You know what I think it is? I think it is a Coolpix camera and they just were actually filming it vertical. You know what I mean? Like instead of holding it normal. they're just turning the wrong way. But it's such a bad.
Well, how far away is that? Is that, do they, have they zoomed in and you're looking through the glass of the train and on a bad camera? That, and you're also looking off the internet, so it's already, the quality's been rendered down. It's probably been copied like fucking 50 times by now.
Well, you know what I haven't heard in a while of anything about is crop circles. I feel like no one talks about crop circles anymore. Are those even a thing? Because I feel like they talked about it hardcore, and then some clowns came around and threatened people.
Dude, we
never heard about the crop circles again.
So we had a guy on the show, Freddie Silva, who is like the fucking Crop Circle.
He's the man.
And he basically talks about them as being like, there was a flap of crop circles for a time. For like a time period, there was like legit crop circles popping up. They don't know why. They don't know, but they're gone. Whatever was doing this is not here anymore, not doing them anymore. But there was like, we had like a crop circle flap. The hate, you know, and everyone, you know, it was wild. They were going out and before all the hoaxers and stuff. And he said like, you would go into these things and like, you would feel like an energy about it. And he was talking about the ones where like the nodes were fused, they weren't broken. They were like legit. The crops were, you know, they would collapse and then refuse, like they were like altered rather than if someone like bent them over and would snap them. Super interesting guy, but yeah.
So he said he physically was at the crop circles.
Yeah. He investigated some of them.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Super, super cool guy. Super fun to listen to. He's written about, I think
the book's called Secrets in the Field.
Yeah. Secrets in the Field.
Freddie Silva
talks. But like this one, like the people like with the Bigfoot, they're like, it's 6 or 7 feet. And I'm like, that is such a bad, like 6 feet is me. 7 feet is a giant. You know what I mean? Like that's such a bad estimation of like, it's between 5'5" and 8 feet. Like it doesn't make any sense. And it's just too sheen. I'm thinking this is like, I hate to say it, more than likely a hunter is probably just by like how
some guy wearing a ghillie suit.
Well, that's something. What a lot of people said is like a guy wearing a ghillie suit. It doesn't really look, it looks like a guy wearing a Bigfoot suit. Not necessarily like, it looks like he's trying to wear, he knows this train's coming. He's sitting on the hill causing a stir.
Like, cause it does have that like Halloween costume sheen to it. Like,
well, like is Bigfoot, does he have hair, like long stringy human hair, or is it like bare fur that gets matted and falls out?
I like to think there's like a curly haired Bigfoot out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like super matted.
Yeah. Perm, just big puffy, big old puffy Bigfoot. Like it's really Bigfoot to Bigfoot with their hairstyle too.
Yeah. It gets static electricity and sticks up all over the place. Yeah.
You know, it just goes to speak to the times. Cause if that happened, let's say in 2001, a panel of experts, it's on major news networks for at least a week. And now we just post on social media and go, that's fucking fake.
It's like the footage is either horrible and there's no way to disprove it or whatever. And then you see the quality is so good and you're like, that's fake, right?
Yeah.
It can't be that good. It's like, it's never good enough. Like I'll follow like some subreddits or whatever, like UFO subreddit or think high strangeness, things like that. And you see any good footage. I think there was like this biplane or something that flew by some metallic object. And I'm sure you guys have seen that video.
Oh, the Italian was in like one? And it flies past them?
Yeah, it was like daytime, and it was like a small, it looked like a small silver cylinder or something.
Yeah, was that the one where the model, it was like the Brazilian model that took the video?
I want to say, yeah. I didn't do too much research on it. I just, one of those things where I saw it, I was like, that was pretty good footage, whatever that was. But everybody would be like, oh, it's fake. But let me ask you guys this. Oh, go on.
No, go ahead, ask us.
I was going to say, I want to ask you this. The Mexican government released that image of that, those alien mummies or whatever. Yeah. And they just looked so,
the cake,
so fake. They couldn't look worse, you know,
they were bad.
So we've actually talked about that guy and those specific skeletons like years before.
Two years ago, at least.
They're not new. Those aren't new. They're just being brought out as if they're new.
Repurposed.
But like this, the guy who is doing this, we've talked about him before. He's had these before. It's inconclusive as it was before. It just looks like, to me, someone drumming up a hoax there.
Well, yeah, well, he says
look faker.
They said they do the test. He's like, we did the DNA test and the carbon dating test and all this stuff. And you're like, those are different things, but no answers came out except that the Mexican government has alien bodies. And you're like, do they? Because they don't look very convincing.
They look like they're made out of paper mache.
Yeah, they look brittle as hell. They look like old newspaper.
The best thing was the cake. Good. The guy who made the meme of like, it's just a cake and this is cutting them.
Yeah.
Like that's what it looks like.
Is it
like.
An alien or is it cake?
Yeah, it looks like just like iced cake and then he cuts a chunk off. He's like, there you go. He repurposed, but I can't remember the names off the top of my head, but we talked about it a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we talked about it on our Atacama Alien episode.
Yeah, because there's been other three-fingered like alien remains found in Peru and stuff in the past, supposedly, and we talked about these at the same time. But yeah, these are just been repurposed for more publicity, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. I feel like what's like one of the more fascinating kind of UFO stuff is USOs, you know, the underwater or the ones that are submersed, they're underwater, you know, they're in the ocean.
We call them transmediums.
Transmediums.
Because they go from water. Solid to liquid to water. They seem to just like, they can just pass through.
There's like no splash or anything.
Yeah.
There was like some military footage or something released not too long ago where they had like, they were, you could see like the black and white infrared footage of the sphere go into the water and it just had no splash or any noise with it. And I'm like, that is crazy.
Doesn't slow down and it comes right back out the exact same. And they're just like, it's wild, dude. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, it just does not, with everything we understand.
Yeah.
Like, we know the faster you hit water, the harder water is. Like, it's like,
oh,
it's,
yeah,
as well be hitting concrete. So it's like when someone just passes in, you're like, it doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes sense. It makes sense if it is, let's say it is an alien craft, ET craft. If they can go from space through atmosphere and into water, it means they have some type of like, they're altering like the air around them. So there's no resistance. So it doesn't matter what's there. If it's air, if it's water, if it's space, if it's heat, if it's ice, like
it's all beyond our understanding. Like if this is all legit or anything, you know, I feel like I wouldn't truly believe any of this stuff until I physically see it with my eyes kind of thing.
Dude, it's
and,
like,
you know, I just go to work every day and I come home and I just do live my life, you know, like, the bills don't stop coming.
No, it's
once
like
the aliens are around.
It's just like if you were able to take your iPhone back like 200 years and it worked and it was still worked and it was connected to internet or whatever, and you showed someone 200 years ago what you could do with it, it's magic. They'd be like, nope, that's fake. That's devilry. And then they'd burn you alive. That's what would happen. All that stuff's fucking cool though.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, I mean, we're getting more and more slowly seeping up with like the Nimitz and like all these military guys coming forward and Commander Fravor and stuff with their sightings. So it'll be interesting now that there's like an avenue where it's these people can report these things without, you know, being like, you're crazy and you no longer work for us. Where it's not only just like, it's actually encouraged for you to kind of come forward and report these things. So it'll be interesting, like in the next, you know, 5 years, what, as we kind of get these UFO UAP congressional hearings, like what more kind of gets brought to the table now that we are actively, you know, checking in on,
or nothing gets brought to the table and we have to check back in 50 years again
and find out that.
Well, let me ask you this.
Sweeping it under.
If you found out they were totally real and there was undeniable proof, would you even care? At this point,
fuck yeah.
Life even changed.
Our show would blow
for you.
Up.
You think so?
I mean, there is a lot of people whose religions would have to, you know, kind of make some healthy edits real quick.
Quick edits.
Right? Of like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, it was in there.
Yeah, that's what it meant.
That's
what it meant the whole time.
Yeah.
Metaphor for the aliens.
I guess Scientology would be fine still.
Yeah, it's a couple
others.
Scientology. Yeah.
So, they would be, huge.
They're ahead of the game on that, I guess.
Like, yeah, we're referred to as thetans. You're like, oh, shit. They were right all along.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you see the reaction of most people when they had like the big they've had a couple Congress meetings or something about it. I'm not an expert, so my ignorance is only because I'm not an educated in person on this whole thing. But I noticed that no one gave a shit, and there was all these memes where it's like, "Oh, aliens exist." Oh, anyways, pay this bill.
No one gave a shit because they didn't tell us anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, oh, there's more to say, but we have to tell. We can't say it publicly. It has to be behind closed doors. And people are like, well, that's stupid.
And that process is so boring, especially when you have like, you know, like shows like the Joe Rogan Experience, where you have like a person like Commander Fravor come on and talk about how he's like in a jet.
Flying. Is that the Tic Tac guy?
Yeah, and he's just like, and he tells his story, his account of like what he sees, and then it's like, and then they, you know, you go to this UFO congressional here, they're like, we're working on it. You know, it's, you know, yeah, we don't know what these things are. That's true. But it's like the world already knew. The story was so, like, you know, on the biggest podcast in the world, everyone knew that this story. So when they come out and they say, yeah, we don't know what it was, that's true. It's like, yeah, well, the fucking mother, we already had firsthand report of this. So it's like, you're not telling us anything new. So that's, I think that's the problem. I think people are really interested in it, but I think it's more of a, I think most people just believe that these things are out here. If they're visiting us, you know, these crafts are coming through that have these capabilities that we don't understand. And that's it. The rest is a mystery. We have no fucking idea. Why are they coming? Why are they?
It only becomes an issue. Say they're like, yeah, these craft are coming. It is some extraterrestrial species, and they're actually not peaceful. Then it becomes a problem. Then it's like, yeah. Okay, are more coming? Are they bringing bigger ships with like actual fucking like planet?
But I feel like if they were actually aggressive, I don't even think they're so far advanced that we wouldn't even know or have time to prepare.
No, it's the Mars attacks thing. We think they're peaceful until they start just fucking melting people's faces with laser guns.
Us?
Yeah.
You play some bad classical music, their heads pop.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some War of the Worlds thing that come here and a little tiny amoeba takes out the whole force.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're
just you just start splashing with water.
Right. Yeah.
Meanwhile, an alien comes down and be like, hey, alien, this is my mood map collection. Just showing them what's going on here.
No, if aliens are real, I don't think people are going to care too much. We're not the only species. There is another, they have found a way to traverse the stars, galaxy, dimension, whatever. Most, like, if you talk to any of, like, the leading, like, you know, astrophysicists, too, they're always skeptical, but like, yeah, the life might be out there, but we need proof. And if life didn't show its face, give proof, they'd be like, well, that makes sense, I guess.
We kind of saw that coming.
Yeah, we needed proof, and we got the proof. So yeah, okay, sounds good. Moving on.
So speaking of cryptids, which is the whole point of the podcast, and you were talking about bad reality show, there was one I just thought of that you guys need to check out. Have you heard of Mountain Monsters?
Oh, dude, big fans. Oh, dude.
Oh my God, that is a crazy show. You guys should get one of those guys on this pod and see what's going on with them.
Have we had any actual legit Bigfoot? I know we've tried to get Rick Dyer on.
No, we called him. We were a little harsh on him. He's not coming on, I don't think.
Yeah, he's.
Criticize him or something? And then
he has a documentary. I can't remember what it's called. Where he takes like he used to claim he's a hoaxer that got caught hoaxing years ago, and basically going town to town showing off the Bigfoot he shot. And it turned out to be possums, like just a bunch of dead possum stuff.
He like human centipeded them together into this fucking shapeless amoeba. This is Bigfoot. I'm telling you.
Horrible. Horrifying. And then, so he was like, had to become a used car salesman because everyone was like, fuck Rick Dyer, he's crazy. And then he became like, he like took on this persona called the Master Tracker, where he said like he knew where Bigfoots were. And so this like documentary filmmaker was like, what can you show me? I want to make a documentary. And so he follows Rick Dyer around for like 3-4 days to go on this Bigfoot hunt. and it's like the most fucking unhinged person you've ever seen. I legit
it's like hanging out with Hunter S. Thompson or something.
I feared for the guy's life. I was like, I think Rick Dyer might kill this guy.
Murder this guy.
And then, and then sure enough, like the last night they're there, Rick Dyer's like shooting his gun off in his fucking Ginch, wearing just cowboy boots. And then like someone in a fucking big, there's like active homeless people camps where they are. Where like
it's like in San Antonio or something.
Yeah. And it's like rough. It's rough. And he's like, oh, this is kind of sketchy. And then legit Bigfoot runs out of the woods and punches the document, like the guy making the film in the face, punches him in the face and then runs away. And then Rick Dyer's like, oh my God, did you get it? Give me the film. Give me the film right now. And he's like threatening to like beat this guy up to take the film from him. And like, it shows a clip and you're like, there is not a doubt in my mind that Rick Dyer paid someone to punch this guy in the head. Like, that's it. And it's, he's unhinged, dude. It's wild. It's fun. You would love it. You would love it.
I'm already fascinated. Where's the TLC channel I can go to check that out?
What's the document? I think a Rick Dyer documentary. I can't remember what it's called. It's really good though. Shooting Bigfoot.
Shooting Bigfoot.
Yeah, shooting Bigfoot 2013.
Yeah. 2013. And he's selling used cars now. And like he has a YouTube channel where like he'll be like, look at this Ford Explorer 2019, got low kilometers. And then like all the comments will be like, where's Bigfoot? Where's he at?
He should have capitalized on it. He should have added Bigfoot in the commercial, kind of like a Geico commercial. So easy, a Bigfoot could drive it.
Yeah, he should have leaned in, right?
Leaned in. Exactly, just fucking go all in. Have you guys ever experienced like any cryptids beyond like aliens or anything like that?
Well,
not me.
I did see
he seen something.
Well, it's hard to say. I didn't see anything. I went on a hike around here. I'm on Vancouver Island. Bigfoot hotspot. I've never seen Bigfoot.
Oh wow, Vancouver Island. That's crazy. I live alone, so I know a bit about Vancouver Island from
it. Oh yeah, it was the early seasons, yeah.
Like in late August, like the blackberries are wild here, man. And blackberry bushes are so fucking sharp. They get like razor thorns on them. They're an absolute nuisance. So a lot of these trails in the woods around here will just be overrun with blackberry bushes. They like grow so thick over the trails and they'll have vines running across. So it's like if you were in bare feet, you're diced up, like absolute diced up. So we went on this hike and it's like this long, like just you hike. It's one trail and it loops in and then kind of turns and then comes back out to the road. And at the far end of the hike, there's like a sandbar and we're just walking, not paying any mind. And then my mom's like, holy fuck. And I look like in the sand and there's legit just bear footprints. Like just a bear, it looks like a bear man, like not like a barefoot foot with no shoe, barefoot,
a man bear pig.
And I'm not saying bear as in like the animal bear. It's like bear, B-A-R-E, barefoot. And it's, and I'm like looking and I put like, I'm a size like 9.5. And the footprint is a little bigger on both ends of mine. So like maybe 10.5, 11. But the stride, like I tried to go from like the right foot to the left foot to kind of see how big the stride was. And I was like full on lunge, like uncomfortable lunge to get stride to stride. I'm like, all right, that's really like, this is really weird. And then I'm like kind of looking at the trail and I'm like, man, it's so like, where would this person go? Like if this is a person, like they would have been diced up. Like absolutely diced up by these blackberry bushes. I was like, my legs were all cut up. I was like, there'd 100% be blood or something, or they're just like absolutely destroyed their feet. But it was just, I actually took pictures of it and stuff. And I sent it to like legit Bigfoot groups. And like, everyone was like, quit hoaxing, man. And I was like, I did not hoax it. I legit saw this. And no
one, I thought you'd be interested.
Yeah. I was like, you guys run a group and you're always showing footprints.
I
didn't really go anywhere. I have the photos. I've posted them before, but people are like, it's too small for Bigfoot. But I have always maintained I think Bigfoot is not as big as people say. I think they see something 6'2" in the woods at a distance, that thing becomes 7 feet real quick, 7-8 feet, just by, because you're worried, right? But if something was 6'5" in the woods, like, you know, and you're seeing it at a distance, you'd be like, that's, it's huge, right? Especially if you think you're seeing like a fucking ape. And then based on the other descriptions of people being like, oh, you know, it's 8, 10, 9 feet tall, that goes in your brain. But I actually think they're probably closer to our, like our average size, maybe a bigger human, 6'2" is what I think.
You just said the stride was massive though.
Yeah, but
he has tall legs, long legs.
Yeah, 6'2", all leg. Yeah,
big bone, not big foot. Should be big.
Yeah, big leg.
It's all big leg.
Like how much did you struggle to like match the footsteps? You had to like hop to get him.
I could have hopped, but then the thing is that you would have impacted the sand worse. It didn't look like that.
That's what I mean. So he would have to have like no torso and extremely long legs, or
yeah.
I don't know much, like I said, I don't know much about Vancouver Island, but I know it from the show Alone. And we had Larry Roberts on that, from that show, on our podcast. And he told us about his experience over in Vancouver Island and says his hobby is primitive survivalist. So that's all he does. And he says it was the most intense kind of brush he's ever been in. And it just picturing anyone walking around anywhere near the forest or beach barefoot is crazy to me. And that's weird in itself. And there are things in this world that, you know, we won't ever understand. I sound like Zach Bagans. There are things in this world we will never understand. But it's true. I mean, there's just unexplained things. And why would anyone be walking around there without shoes? It gets cold up there too. So,
I mean, in the summer, it's nice. You'd be totally fine. Other than I'm like, you would have destroyed your feet walking around these blackberry bushes, like absolutely. And then the bush is so thick where it's like, if you're off, okay, well, if you're going off the trail, you've got other problems because it's the Vancouver Island. It's a rainforest. It is so thick.
Temperate rainforest. Yeah.
The second you step off a trail, it is so thick with brush. Like, good luck.
It could have been a weird skipping crackhead that was just out of his mind on the beach, or it could have been Big Leg. For all we know, you'll never know.
Like, can maybe Bigfoot's tall and then just has like, you know, below average feet for his size then in that case.
I mean, he could just have really long legs. Takes really long legs. Maybe he was doing one of those weird ball scratches where you have to really extend one of your legs to scratch it without anybody noticing.
Someone says like invalid ID on the chat says blackberry bush thorns are actually worse than barbed wire. And I 100% concur.
Yeah, they're brutal.
They just absolutely dice you up. Whereas like barbed wire, you'll get snag your clothing or something. Like these thorns will just stab right through and just cut you. It's like a little razor.
You can actually hire like people on the coast and on the island. There's like a trade, which is this blackberry bush removal. And that's your only job, is just go into people's properties and bring all your special tools and get rid of blackberry bushes. Cause you just can't, as a normal person, you try, you're getting shredded.
It's absolutely brutal to like they grow so fucking fast that it's like a fight with them. And literally they're a nuisance.
But they're 11 also delicious.
And a half months of the year. And then for 2 weeks, they give you delicious little berries.
Delicious blackberries.
Yeah. And then that's it.
Is that all it is? Is 2 weeks.
Big Leg loves blackberries. Toast.
They do love berries. Right? That's one of the things. Right?
They're
we
found
that.
By berry fields and boulder fields. We know this after all these years.
I feel like
boulders.
Picture this. They are totally underutilizing the horror market in movies for Bigfoot. Imagine, you know, a stereotypical Bigfoot horror movie, but he got rabies or something. He was going around beating people to death in like a small 30 days of night.
Have you seen Cocaine Bear? We got Cocaine Sasquatch.
No.
Next.
Cocaine, Coke Squatch, Coke Leg.
They try and drop a bit, couple keys of cocaine on Vancouver Island by plane. The Sasquatch gets it first. Next thing you know, he's terrorizing the whole town.
It's a perfect setup for a great gory.
He just wants more. He just wants more, and then some of the characters figure out that's all he wants is more coke, and that's how they escape.
Yep. And they overdose him. And then
he dies from fentanyl overdose. That's what happens to Bigfoot. Yeah.
It's timely. Tried in Narcan him, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah, they don't have a high enough dose. Big. Yeah, don't have a high enough dose to figure out Bigfoot.
Directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. The twist is he was an addict too. he was also
suffering. Yes.
It's we're getting people in the chirping in the chat of a BlackBerry. They fucking suck, dude. They're the worst. But you know, David Politis always says, like, well, yeah, boulder fields, berry bushes. That's what you got to look out for. You see in those two things, your third thing you're going to see is a Bigfoot, 100%. So, Zell, you want to take a couple calls right before we go? If we get can get two calls, or
we'll turn the line on here. We'll take one or two calls before we go. If someone wants to call real quick.
If you got a story, you got a question you want to ask, if you want to ask Patrick a question, 1-833-703-0424. You call, the lines are open. They're not going to be open long because we're already running in overtime here. So if you got a story or something you want to share, give us a call. A lot of questions in the chat. We're going, Patrick's such an interesting guy, entertaining guy. We just kind of were glazing over the chat questions there. So my bad.
No, Adam Miles, Narcan doesn't work in coke, but that's what I mean, the coke had fentanyl laced in it, and that's why Bigfoot got overdosed by the fentanyl, and that's why we needed the Narcan. That's what happened.
What kind of food would you lure a Bigfoot with? You're gonna lay out beef a giant jerky. Lynx beef jerky trap.
Lynx beef jerky. You haven't seen that commercial?
Yeah. It's easy. The teriyaki flavor. Yeah, he loves that easy.
Yeah. He fucking will come flying out and second he cracked that bag open. Just hang some in the trees like a Christmas tree. Lure them right into camp.
There's no other option, I don't think, for trying to lure in Bigfoot.
We don't have much else around here as in like folklore, but I do know that, like, let's say, like, you're saying there's people out there that just do blackberry removal kind of as a job, but we have like a huge Burmese python kind of situation down in Florida.
Oh, in Florida. I was like, in Ohio? What the fuck?
Florida's its own. That's a whole other country to us, practically. You know what I mean? Even though it's our own country.
Barely.
They just do their own thing. Yeah, it's just another barely
American. Dude, you guys got the... Ohio's the Loveland frog, right? The little lizard frog?
I don't think so.
Is that in Ohio?
Is Loveland not the Loveland...
We have a Loveland, but everyone has like a Loveland of some sort. It's like Springfield in The Simpsons. There's just a shit ton of them. You never know which one it is. But the Burmese python stuff is that people will have these pythons. They'll get them, and they get so large you just can't take care of them anymore. They're like 20, 30 feet sometimes. It's crazy. And so they'll just let them go into the wilderness. And they are almost impossible to get rid of, and they decimate the entire ecosystem, the 10-12 and like mammals a year. It doesn't sound like a lot, but when you multiply, they have like 20-50 babies at a time, and you know, they just keep grow double in size every year. I mean, that's thousands of animals that are going missing. That's like, there's guys out there, swamp people. There's a show called Swamp People that's based completely on just hunting down Burmese python in Florida. And they get paid like $500 a python, and they'll get like 6 or 7 of them a day, like big ones.
Dude, that's insane. We've kind of touched on that before. Like, they've lost so much mammal population, but let's bring one call onto the line here. Hello, ATT Live.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Well, good, good, good. I'm just going to turn you up here real quick. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Adam. I'm calling from Detroit.
From Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Yes, Lions fan. Too bad Andrew's not here.
Oh, yeah. They're crushing it. And the Wings ain't mad either this year, even though they suck usually lately. But, I've got one comment and then a quick story for you guys. First of all, Braden, I'm still upset about getting toe fungus ads. They have not stopped for months.
It's contagious, man. Once one person gets them, you all get toe fungus ads. It's right on the end. It's contagious.
Tough accent's an accent or something. All right. Yeah. So here's my quick story. Back in 2013, I lived in Savannah, Georgia, which is, of course, like, you know, the most haunted town, kind of like New Orleans and all that stuff.
Right.
So my ex-wife and I, when we got married, in Savannah. And they have a lot of, like, you know, touristy ghost tours and all that stuff. And, you know, they're kind of the same everywhere. I went to St. Augustine. It's basically the same stuff. So they have this place. It's It's called the 1790, which is obviously when it was built. And so the tourist story is, you know, they take you on this walking tour, and then they say, oh, the bride was, you know, left by the groom, and, you know, she jumped out of this window on the top, and they have a little, like, doll in the window, and, you know, folks creep you out, whatever. So it's bullshit. So my wife and I, we get married. We, on our wedding night, we stay in this room on the first floor, and, you know, after all the marriage stuff is done, we go to bed, and we're laying in bed. I'm just about to fall asleep. It's late. It's late. You know, it's 2 something in the morning, whatever. And I'm just about to fall asleep. And she goes, did you just touch my feet? And I said, no. And she goes, seriously, like, don't fuck with me. Did you just touch my feet? I said, I was literally asleep. You know, she said something touched, like, grabbed both on, like, on top of her ankles, and she's laying on her back on top of her ankles, and pushed her feet into the mattress. I'm like, okay, that's fucking weird. Then, okay, we get past that, we fall asleep. In the middle of the night, we're both dead asleep. This huge suitcase that she had packed had been there the morning off, you know, hadn't moved, slams on the ground, wakes us both up. Scared the bejesus out of me. So obviously, like, something was going on. The next morning, we go and we talk to, you know, the owners that run that place and tell them, like, what happened. And, you know, I lived in Savannah for like 15 years. I'm very familiar with all the stories. My family would come down, I'd do all these tours, all this stuff. And so I knew about, like, the room up the top where the lady supposedly jumped out. She says, yeah, that's like the tourist thing, but the room you guys are staying, I believe it was room 103 at the 1790 Inn in Savannah. That room we were in was her actual room, like the where she lived.
Fuck.
Yeah. And I swear to God, it 100% happened just like that. No embellishment, nothing. It's kind of odd. Like, we get married on our wedding night, the whole bride, and I had no idea, like, that was the rumor. Like, that's not advertised, you know what I mean? So, like, it was just, scared the crap out of me.
It's just a little perk.
yeah, exactly. And now here's the kicker. So they have a guest book, right? And, like, I was flipping through the entries trying to find something. Somebody wrote this whole elaborate thing, and it was, you know, about there's ghosts, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and it was signed by Egon Spengler. You know, the Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was just a, like, funny thing. But I swear to Christ that happened. Like, absolutely happened.
That's fucking wild.
It's cool. Yeah. Like, like, if I recall correctly, because I think we've talked about a couple hotels there in Savannah. It's like, I remember them being like having a pretty intricate ghost walk. Like a ghost tour there. That's pretty, like.
Anybody listen to the walking tours? Those are fun. The driving ones suck. I was also at the fire department there, and it was where I worked was a combination department. So, like, you would have, at the time, it's not that way anymore, one firefighter at the station. If we got a call, I'd take the truck and the volunteers would come and the others pay backup. That station was haunted. Like, you'd come out and, like, I was legit scared to sleep that. Like, you'd come out and, like, all the doors in the cabinets would be open. Mm. And, like, there's nobody else there. There's me, you know, one dude there, like, and that happened a lot.
I believe
that place creeped me out. I believe him.
No doubt.
It's creepy.
Yeah, it creeped me out. So.
Yeah. So, thank you guys. I appreciate it. I love the show. Do something about the toe fogging, please. Thank you.
he'll work on it. All right. Cheers, man. Have a good night.
Guys, have a great night.
Bye. All
right. Yeah, thanks for sharing the story. And
that's Patrick, crazy. I didn't think.
I
didn't know you guys.
We Loveland Frog is from Loveland, Ohio. Basically, these
right.
The last time I was seen, was 2016. Little, like, 3 foot, like, almost like battle frogs with wizard sticks.
They had, like, fucking.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Magical frogs.
I'm definitely gonna look that up. Loveland's only like 25 minutes from my location. I'm going to go there. I'll report back to you guys. Like, look what I caught. Can you believe it? But I didn't know you guys talked about, like, paranormal stuff like that. I have a good story before I'm out of here, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's do it.
there was, so, when I was younger, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a big believer in paranormal stuff, but I do believe there are things that you just cannot explain whatsoever. You don't know what it is. And I believe in energy, you know, like let's say you're walking in a room and you have that extra sense that goes off, like there's something going on here, you know, like a sixth sense of some sort. But, there was a time I had a house fire when I was, very young, and we rebuilt the house. When we moved back into the house, like it, a lot of different weird shit would happen that, you know, it kind of gives me chills just even thinking about this stuff again. But I lived on the second floor of this house. So the whole second floor was basically my room. It had a window in the front, a window in the back, and then the stairs in the middle. It was all like wood in the unknown house, which comes into play. But there'd be times where I'd come home and you'd see like a window peeked open and no one would be home. So that would freak me the fuck out. So I'd go upstairs and the blind would just be closed. So it'd be peeked open when I drove home and I looked in upstairs and I have like a friend with me or something, like, do you see this shit? What the fuck's that? And we go up there and it's closed. Fuck. And there was like this. That scared the shit out of me for a long time. So I was like, what the fuck is that? But one time, actually, a couple of times. There, one time, it kind of like got in an escalation thing, and then it just stopped altogether when I was like 21 or some shit. I'm 32 now, but I remember I was upstairs. I was with a friend, and we were watching Mark Wahlberg's masterpiece, Max Payne.
Oh, yeah.
And as we were watching this film, I have a brother. He's 12 years younger than me, so. When I was living at home still, you know, he really like looked up to me, and sometimes he would try to like sneak in on you or something to try to see what's my brother doing kind of thing. And, while I'm watching this movie, like I said, that sixth sense where you're just like, is there someone in the room with me? And that his name is Mitch. And I remember it was all dark in the room, except for the light, the hue of the TV. And, I was like, Mitch, go downstairs. Don't come up here, you know? And you don't hear anything at all. And you just hear like what sounded like some creaking up the stairs. It didn't give me chills right now just thinking about this shit.
Yeah,
but no you doubt. Hear the creak and I'm like, Mitch, go downstairs. Don't come up here. Cause I'm like 19 or something. I don't want to be bothered by my 12 year younger brother than me. You know what I mean? So, you should be in bed. And I hear another creak and I get up and I walk towards the stairs and I look downstairs. I have a white door at the bottom of my stairs, but I couldn't see that. I couldn't see the white hue, you know, in the dark. It just looked pitch black down my stairs. It was dark in general. And I was like, Mitch? And then I heard another creak. And I went right back to like the corner of the room. No, I turned the lights on. I was like, fuck this, dude.
No,
but
kidding.
That's not even the scary shit. Like this, that was really freaky. I'll never forget that happening. But there was like a time where I was downstairs and I was watching something late at night. I was laying on my couch and my dining room's right next door. This was all right around the same time. And I remember I have two dogs at the time and they were sitting on the couch with me. And it's right around, you know, that time, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, what better coincidence than some freaky ghost shit going on around then? So as I'm sitting there watching, my dogs are kind of growling and I'm like, I don't even know what's going on at this point. I just feel completely petrified. I cannot move. I look over into the dining room where the dogs are growling and it looks like there is a silhouette of like a dark figure behind the dining room table. Just kind of like, freaking me out thinking about it, but it's looking at, it looks like it's like, I don't know if it's looking at me, but you just see it in the corner. It's like just dark enough where you can see this like light difference in the actual corner of the room. And my dogs are growling. I cannot move at all. And I'm just like looking at it. I remember sweating profusely, freaking out. Like what the fuck is going on right now? And it looks like, I don't know if it was like, you know, imagine like you're standing on something and you're on wheels and it moves you or something, or you're sliding, or there's a carpet sliding someone. It looked like the thing just slowly, it was silent, slowly moved away out of my view around the corner, around my house. So I'm like, I don't know how to explain this. So the couch, the living room, does this podcast have cameras?
Yeah.
Yep.
I was going to say, this would be the best way to describe it.
So my living room is right here, dining room right here, figures behind the table as I'm in here, and it slides this way towards our kitchen. And it's kind of like a circular thing. And it sounds like sprint running down the woods that thump, 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 thump. Goes right into this, my brother's bedroom at the time. He was sleeping with my parents at the time. He was so young. And the door shuts. And my mom comes out. And she's like, what are you doing slamming doors this late? And she's looked at me. And I was completely pale, dripping sweat. And I was like, I don't know what just happened.
And that shit was so intense.
I don't know what it was. I don't have an explanation. I'm not a big ghost guy. All right. Yeah. But this stuff was unexplainable. It was scary as fuck. There was some primal fear that was going on in my mind at that time. My dogs experienced it. And if that was the case, like, it's not in my mind because my mom was involved. You know what I mean?
Right.
So weird shit like that would happen. I'd be upstairs hanging out and you hear some walking down in the wood floor downstairs, just like someone walking with some hard shoes or some shit. So it's a lot deeper than I expected to explain. But, you know, just weird things like that would happen. I moved out of that house and I never experienced anything like that again. But it was freaky as fuck.
I do have a question because we've had freaky, like on this show too, we've done like, you know, Ouija board live and other stuff. And we've had some weird interference one time. Zell, like 2 minutes ago, did you play something? Did you play an audio clip?
That noise?
Yeah.
No, but I've
took. I heard a noise, and that kind of scared me when I was
telling you. I took my headphones off because I heard something.
Freaked out.
I got scared too because I was just like, "Well, I heard a I thought I heard a scream, and I do have alerts on my computer." And then I was like, "Okay, well, did the chat hear it?" I put, "Did you guys hear that?" And then
I just brought that shit back in my life.
Yeah.
Talking about that story, this shit just got reintroduced.
So
it's your fault.
Now I'm gonna have to go back to like 1:12 when we stopped the recording.
Well, I heard something. I had to take off my headphone. If you look on the stream, I took my headphone. I was listening for something. I was like, "What the fuck was that?"
I thought I heard a yell, and I was like. And then I was like, oh, well, Patrick didn't hear it because he surely would have paused.
I heard it. I'm just so used to podcasting when things like there's sound issues. And I just was like, well, just keep going. Just keep talking.
That was weird.
But I saw everybody shifty eyed for a second. And I was like, that scared the shit out of me.
I definitely had to take my headphone off. I was like, what the fuck was that?
Because I was like,
everybody look around. Anybody in there?
No, terrifying. Hey, anyways, we got to wrap this one up. Thank you so much
for
sending that design in. We absolutely loved it. Thanks for coming on the show. It was an absolute pleasure. And as a podcaster yourself, you know, sometimes you have people on and it's not an absolute pleasure. We did not have to fake it with an hour with you. It was a great time.
That was super fun.
Thank you. Thanks so much for coming on. And again,
thanks for checking me out. Having me on, man.
I appreciate it. For those who like my stories or whatever, and you want to hear more, go check out my podcast. I did the Bastard Sermon. 200 plus episodes are still free online. You can go to Game Pass or Smash. That's free on everything. And if you like games or not, we just talk shit the whole time. It's just a couple of buddies. I also make mood mats. If you have bongs, crystals, you know, things you want to put on it and you don't want them to break, or you just want to collect shit, hit me up. I do limited drops every Friday. Dark Mountain Cult, one word, Instagram. Thanks so much, guys. It was a pleasure. Let me know if you ever need a guest again. I'd be happy to do it.
Maybe we'll have your character drop in on a
D&D.
On a one-off episode D&D. You can come help us with the battle. I'd love to. Always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. Peace, everybody.
Peace.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.